Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ wants his disciples to be ready and not to be caught off guard, to be sober, to be watchful, and not to be slothful and sleeping. He wants his disciples to be victorious as they witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. The first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ came to save. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ will come to judge. And so when the return of Christ becomes a reality, the day of salvation for this earth is over. It's done. The day for us to witness a good confession of the love of God in Christ to sinners will be concluded. And that is why a deep sense of urgency must be found in the hearts and lives of God's people, especially those who are living in the tail end of the last days. Because the Bible tells us that before the Lord's return, there will be a sign called the Christianity will fall away. God willing, it will be next Lord's Day's message. If there is a fall away in Christianity, that means many believers will be in a spiritual stupor. As it were, we will be like a person in a coma. And so God has given to us certain signs. Last Lord's Day, we look at the sign, the first one, in Matthew 24, which was the gospel that will be proclaimed throughout the whole world. It is already a reality. Tonight, we're going to look at the second sign given by Christ in answer to the questions that the disciple asked Christ. When will the end, when will your return be? The second sign is not yet fulfilled, but it is very informative because it will focus on Israel. The Bible said, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, the moment you read the phrase, the holy place, you know that it cannot be in anywhere else on earth except Jerusalem. And the only part in Jerusalem where the holy place will be located is where the Temple of Solomon was in Solomon's time. The same holy place during the temple that was rebuilt in the time of Ezra and Zerubbabel and the priest called Yeshua. That temple was destroyed. That temple was rebuilt and renovated by General Titus, destroyed in AD 70. That means before the Lord Jesus Christ returned, in order for this abomination of desolation to stand in the holy place, the temple has to be rebuilt. When will the time of the desolation be? The time of the desolation will have to begin when the temple was rebuilt, because there is no temple in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount right now. If you have been to Jerusalem, you will realize the absence of the holy place. And so for it to become a reality, that is the abomination of desolation to be placed in the holy place, it will have to be a rebuild of the temple. Turn with me now to Daniel chapter 9, where we're going to look at the timing of the desolation, which will involve our understanding of the rebuilding of the temple. Daniel chapter 9 is a chapter where Daniel prayed according to the revelation from the book of Jeremiah, that at the end of 70 years of exile, God will send his people back from Babylon to Israel. And so based upon this revelation from God's word, Daniel prayed this prayer. And the Bible said that the moment he uttered the final syllable of this prayer, God sent the answer immediately. And the amazing reply from God was very, very reassuring to Daniel. Not only will the people of Israel return, but they will remain in the land all the way right up to the first coming of Christ and into the abomination of desolation period. And the Lord began this by telling us that there will be 77s in verse 24 of Daniel 9. And these 77s are divided into three segments. The first segment is given to us in verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks, that's the first, and then 62 weeks, that is the second segment. So 7 plus 60, there will be 69 sevens altogether. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, that means at the end of the second segment, that is the end of the 69th week, something will happen. Verse 26 describes what that something is. Shall the Messiah be cut off? That means the first coming of Christ. But not for himself, obviously, it's for our transgressions. And the people of the prince. Now, the people of the prince here in verse 26 is Satan himself. He shall come and shall destroy the city, that is Jerusalem, and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So the evil one will come, and he will destroy. Verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Who are the many? The people of Israel. 1 week, 7 years, 1 7. So this will be the 70th seven. So you have 70 weeks or 77s. 69 will come, and the 69th seven will end with the first coming of Christ. And that is 2,000 years ago. But this final 70th week is still in the future. And then it will begin with the evil one making a covenant with the people of God, the people of Israel. So that will be the start of the period known as the Great Tribulation. 7 years. The Antichrist will be permitted by God to rule the world for only 7 years. And he will begin this period of 7 years by first making peace with Israel. That's what he says. Make a covenant. Now, my suggestion is part of the covenantal agreement that he will make with Israel will be to give Israel permission to rebuild the temple, which is what the Jews are longing to do. All these many, many years since her sovereignty in 1948 AD, to rebuild the temple so that they could restore back the Levitical worship in Israel, in Jerusalem. And one of the agreement inside this covenant that he will make with the people of God, the people of Israel, I mean, it will be, I believe, the rebuilding of the temple. So we call this the tribulation temple. And what will happen? In the midst of the week, that means 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to stop. How will he do that? For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, that means right up to the very end. That means in the middle of this 7 year, he will place the abomination of desolation in the holy place. And by what he did, Israel will see the Antichrist for what he really is, an evil, wicked individual, energized by the devil himself, which the Bible called the dragon. By then it's too late. They have already made a covenant, made an agreement, and in the middle of it, he will betray and he will break the covenant, and Israel will be shocked. This is the timing of the desolation. When will this abomination of desolation that the Lord Jesus Christ speak of in Matthew 24, verse 15, when will it be placed in the holy place? In the middle of the last and final 7 years of man's rule on earth. Because at the end of it, the Lord Jesus Christ will return and the clouds will open and the day of salvation will cease the moment Christ comes down from heaven. When they see the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time, the world has never seen the Lord Jesus Christ in the glorified body. When Christ was on earth for 40 days before his ascension, he only appeared to believers who already have faith. He will no longer appear to the world in the mortal flesh as the weakling. They crucified that Christ when he came to save. But when this Christ who comes to judge, he will appear in the glorified body and he will no longer be beaten or be arrested and be persecuted. No more. Because now he will come as the judge. The world cannot look at him and shout, Hosanna, which means to save. He will now come to judge. The day of salvation is over. Everyone on that earth, when Jesus Christ appears in the clouds of glory, every single human being, if you are wicked and evil, you will be wicked and evil forever, and you will be sentenced to hell and ultimately the lake of fire. If you are righteous, when the Lord Jesus Christ appears in the cloud of glory, you will be righteous forever and ever and enter into the new heaven and new earth. That is how significant the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is. And so when will this abomination of desolation that the Lord Jesus Christ prophesied as one of the signs that will take place before his return, that will be found in the holy place? Daniel 9 tells us that that event will take place during the 3.5 years after the beginning of the 7 years of great tribulation. Or you can also look at it from the other perspective, 3.5 years before the end of the great tribulation, right in the middle. That's what it says. And that will be done, right? He will be there up to the end. The abomination of desolation will be placed in the holy place right up to the very end. Now this God had made very plain and clear. Do not confuse this with Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11 speaks of a Hellenistic king. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes IV. He also placed an abomination of desolation. But what he did was to place a swine and offered it in the temple because he was very angry with the Jews. When he went down to Egypt around 167 BC, he wanted to conquer and defeat the king of Egypt. But the king of Egypt was very smart. They made an alliance with the Roman government. The Roman Empire was about to be born, and they were rising in power and status. They took a ship, crossed the Mediterranean Sea, and arrived in Egypt. And before Antiochus Epiphanes could come and conquer this Roman soldier, governor, confronted Antiochus Epiphanes and gave him an ultimatum. Are you here to fight or to stop fighting? Your choice. If you want to fight Egypt, you will be fighting against Rome. But if you say you're not going to come and fight Egypt, you may leave in peace and live and not be killed. And Antiochus Epiphanes said, I must go back and talk to my council. The Roman governor drew a circle around him. Before you cross and step out of this circle and cross this line, you must decide to fight or not to fight, or else you die. And so he was publicly humiliated and he was very angry. But the rumor has spread to Israel that this wicked Antiochus Epiphanes IV had died in Egypt. And so they were very happy and they were celebrating. And so this horrible king was so humiliated that he was so angry as he marched back northward to his kingdom up north in Syria. And to do that, he has to bypass Jerusalem. And when he heard of the celebration of the Jews because of the rumor that he had died, and he was already very angry because of the humiliation, and he wanted to kill some people. He wanted to hit back. He could not touch the Egyptians because of the Roman protection. And so what do you think he did? He took it out on the poor Jews. And that's where he placed the swine, the abomination of desolation, in the holy place to stop their offering, to attack and to kill the Jews. That happened in Daniel chapter 11. Do not confuse that, which had already taken place, from the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said these words around AD 30, very soon before he was arrested and crucified. This occurred in 167 BC, 167 years before the birth of Christ. And therefore, Jesus Christ is speaking in terms of the future. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel, it is still future, even today, after 2,000 years, or nearly 2,000 years since Jesus Christ gave us this prophecy. Because we are not living in the final 7 years of great tribulation. The rapture will take place before the start of this 7 years of great tribulation. Next Lord's Day message, we will touch upon that. And that is why this is still in the future, even from our perspective, because we have not been raptured yet. The moment this 7 years begin, that is the rapture. The rapture will start at the same time when the 7 years of great tribulation will begin. That's what is taught in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which will be our passage for our consideration. But for tonight, understand that the timing of what Jesus Christ prophesied in Matthew 24:15, it will occur at the middle point of the 7 years of great tribulation. After the Antichrist, energized by the devil, or called the dragon in Revelation 13, make a covenant with the people of Israel. And the proposal is that one of the ingredients of the covenant will be giving Israel the permission to rebuild the temple so that they can restore their Levitical offering, which is what many of the Jews, especially the Orthodox Jews, are longing to do. What about the impact when the desolation of abomination or abomination of desolation is placed in the holy place? What will happen to the people of Israel, the people of God? Look at verse 16 to 20. Then let them which be in Judea, because it happens in Jerusalem, flee to the mountains, run and hide. Because now you're in trouble. The Antichrist will come after them. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. No time. No time to think of carnal things. Your carnal things will become useless. Because when that day comes, if you do not have the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell. He will exercise economic sanction globally. The whole world will be impacted by his command. If you do not have the mark of the beast, you can't buy and sell at all. So you collecting all your barang-barang, all your material things, will be no use. Because he's going to hunt you down, he's going to catch you and get you. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. You must now focus on your salvation. Stop focusing on trying to continue your life on this earth. It is over. It is done. And you only have 3.5 years left. Of course, it's not mentioned here, but it's going to be mentioned in another passage which we're going to look at. And woe unto them that are with child, those who have babies, those who are pregnant, those who have young children. How are you going to run when you are pregnant? You are going to be slow. You're going to be in trouble. How are you going to run with a young baby in your arms? And to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, because winter time is going to be freezing, it's going to be cold, and very soon, because of the early sunset, it will turn dark very quickly. And how are you going to run and hide? And then on top of that, let it not pray that it will not happen on the Sabbath day, because many of these Jews, they cannot travel long distance Sabbath day. The maximum they can allow to travel, according to oral tradition, is 2,000 cubits. That's about 1,000 yards. That's very, very short. How are you going to run? Because if you want to obey God's law to keep the Sabbath day holy, and now you're going to run for your life, pray that it will not happen when that day of the abomination of desolation occurs and you have to flee and run and hide. Now, this fleeing and running and hiding is also elaborated in Revelation chapter 12. Please turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 is a very important chapter if you want to know how the devil looks at this world from the devil's perspective. Revelation 12 is the perspective of the world from his evil eyes. Look at Revelation 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So the woman used in this chapter is none other than Israel. Do you remember this imagery, the sun, the moon, and the 12 stars? This was the second dream given by God to young Joseph. When Joseph was 17 years old, he was given two dreams where he said, where God said to him, you're going to be promoted to a position even higher than that of your parents. And that came to pass because he was made the second most powerful man in Egypt. And so the sun, the moon, and the 12 stars, that's Israel. So the woman here is Israel. She being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, that is the devil, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. So when he challenged God and sinned against God in heaven, God cast him down from heaven, and one-third of the angelic beings fell from heaven and joined him. And these are the fallen angels, the demons, the Bible described them, and did cast them onto the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, that is Israel, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as he was born. And that child is none other than Jesus Christ. So the woman is the nation of Israel, and this child is none other than our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment Christ was born, was that not what happened? Remember? Herod wanted to kill the babies. The Lord had to take Jesus to hide in Egypt. All fulfilled. Please remember that. Now, for our consideration, we are very concerned with Israel running, fleeing. All right, the impact of the desolation, the abomination of desolation that is placed in the holy place. For that, you look at verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there for how long? 1,260 days. How many years is 1,260 days? If you divide it using the Jewish calendar of 30 days per month, that is 360 days a year. You will get exactly 3.5 years. So 1,260 days is exactly equal to 3.5 years. Exactly as what Daniel 9 says. The moment the abomination of desolation was placed, Israel will have to flee and run. For how long? They will have to flee and run from him for 3.5 years. Look at verse 8. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. That is when God cast the devil out of heaven for good. The devil and all the demons will be cast out of heaven for good. They will never, ever be allowed to go to heaven again. The first time when they were cast down onto the earth, for whatever reason we do not know, They were permitted to go up to heaven to report to God, as Job chapter 1 and chapter 2 reveal to us. That's where we read about how God talked to the devil. Have you tested, have you seen, have you looked at my servant Job? He is a very faithful and spiritual servant. Then Satan said to him, of course he's faithful and spiritual. You bless him with good health and a wonderful family. You take all these away from him and he will curse you. And then God said, all right, you take, but don't touch his body. So Satan and the fallen angels were permitted to go up to heaven for this kind of encounter reporting for whatever reason. But during the 3.5 years, final 3.5 years, the Bible says the dragon and all his fallen angels, 1/3 of them will be cast out of heaven for good, never be permitted to enter heaven ever again. And what will they do on the earth? Look at verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The 1/3 of the fallen angels will be cast out, never to be permitted to go into heaven ever again. And what will they do? Look at verse 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle. And so during these 3.5 years, God will protect Israel. Who were the Israelites that God will protect? Revelation 7 tells us it will be the 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe, mentioned in Revelation 7. And God will protect them. They will run and they will flee from this horrible, horrible dragon who has energized the Antichrist, who will now want to kill Israel because they have been cast out, and they will blame Israel. And the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle. He will flee very fast. God will protect, that she might fly into the wilderness to hide there for 3.5 years, into her place where she is nourished for a time and a times and half a time. 3.5 years. Okay, a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent, just as it was mentioned earlier in verse 6 and also in Daniel 9. 3.5 years, God will protect Israel during this period of time. It will be cloistered up somewhere. Israel will not be roaming the length and breadth of Israel to be a witness. During these 7 years of great tribulation, God will send 2 witnesses. One of them will be Elijah, not the Jews. They are not converted yet. They will be in the wilderness, protected by God. The devil and the Antichrist, they will send an army to try to capture them. Look at verse 15. The serpent cast out his mouth water as a flood after the woman. That means send an army, and he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened out her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The army that he sent to capture the people of Israel, the 144,000, God will open the earth and swallow up his army so that he will not succeed. The army will not succeed in capturing Israel. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and then he will go out and make war with the rest of the Israelites that were not protected by God, the 144,000. That's why when you look at Revelation 7, 2 tribes were not mentioned. The tribe of Dan and the tribe of Ephraim. That means there were other Jews that were not protected by God outside of this 144,000. They will be cloistered up, protected by God in the wilderness, where the whole world will suffer, the whole world will be devastated, but they will be protected by God and provided for by God in the wilderness so that they will last through the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. At the end of it, they will be converted. And they are the ones who will enter the millennium together with other believers who survive through the Great Tribulation, including some Gentiles. They will enter the millennium in the mortal body. And that's why these are the ones who will run and hide. No time to think of living any longer on this earth, collecting your belongings, getting your clothes, thinking that your life on earth will continue. It's over. The final 3.5 years, you run and hide. The Lord will protect you in the wilderness. No more time. There's no more future. This world is coming to an end. Everything that you and I are familiar with, everything that you and I are very used to, the names of all these world cities, the capital cities of all these nations of the world that you and I have pictures of, that you and I have visited, have memories of, they are going to become a thing of the past. The moment the Great Tribulation begins, everything will begin to change forever. Because the Bible tells us the time of the desolation in the middle of the 7 years of Great Tribulation. What will happen to the people of Israel during that period? God will protect them. They will have no time to run and hide and collect all their material goods because the time on earth will be done and over. God will protect them in the wilderness and provide for them and keep them safe, as He has promised. My people will be safe, as He has promised us in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. And then finally, where do we get the term? The period of 7 years is known as the Great Tribulation. The term was coined by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Look at verse 21 and verse 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. What will happen during the final 3.5 years? The book of Revelation tells us it will be a period of the trumpet judgments, where 1/3 of the ocean will turn to blood. 1/3 of the fresh water will turn to blood. 1/3 of the vegetation will be destroyed. You can read about that in the book of Revelation. And then after that, God will send the final judgments upon this sin-filled world, the vile judgments, where the whole world will be destroyed. The sun, the moon will also be destroyed, where it will become unlivable. Now, why did God do that? Everything that God did is always for man's good. What was the period of time? It was the period of total global deception by the Antichrist and the false prophet. They have deceived the world so successfully that the whole world will assume that the Antichrist, energized by the devil himself, is indeed the Christ, the Messiah, that is prophesied in the Old Testament. Because he will be killed and he will lie to the world and he will be pretended to have resurrected from the dead. And there will be this huge statue that will be made to worship him. The people will bow down to it. And the false prophet will make the statue speak. The false prophets will do miracles, real, genuine miracles, where the source is the devil himself, the dragon. And the whole world will be duped. And they will really believe that this is the Messiah sent by God. And God will send two witnesses. The church witness is done the moment the rapture takes place. The local church witness ends. It started in Pentecost. It will end with the rapture, where every truly born-again believer will be taken up out of every local church. And what remains behind after that will only be the church, which the Bible called the harlot church of the Antichrist. And we'll talk more about that, God willing, next Lord's Day. And then during the last and final 7 years, it will no longer be a church witness. It is not going to be a national witness. It will be the witness of the two. One of them is Elijah. Who the other person is, we do not know. But one of them is definitely Elijah. Malachi, the last two verses of the book of Malachi tells us that Elijah will be the forerunner before the second coming of Christ takes place, just like John the Baptist was the forerunner to prepare the straight path for the first coming of Christ. Now, when the world is deluded by false miracles, when the world is focusing on the Antichrist, the Lord will send His wrath. The Lord will send His judgment. He will call this the Great Tribulation that the world has never seen before. That's what Jesus says, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, never ever shall be. Because in the past, the world was destroyed by water. But this time, it will be destroyed by a devastation that the world had never seen before, because no nation will be able to come and help another nation. Imagine a world where one-third of the ocean turned into blood. The world will smell. You don't have to worry about fresh air. There will be no more fresh air on planet Earth. There will be rotting carcasses floating on one-third of the entire ocean. How much water do we have on this Earth? Two-thirds water, one-third land, isn't it? And so two-thirds of the ocean, one-third of it, one-third of two-thirds, will be all blood. And every creature that is in that segment will die. And the carcasses will stink and will rot. Fresh water, likewise. So water will be scarce. Same for the green vegetation. All will be destroyed. One-third. That's the first judgment. Hoping that man will see that the Antichrist is not Christ. That there is a one living and true God, where the gospel will still be preached, because many will believe by God's grace and mercy, but they also will die instantly. And they are found in heaven, and John will see them. And these are the ones who are victorious, and they did not kowtow to the Antichrist, and they paid for it with their lives. We thank God for that. And so the two witnesses and the devastation that God will unleash upon this world will bring about quite a sizable number of believers, but they will not live long. And then the final judgment will be the vow judgments, and God says this will be the last and final to fill up the wrath of God, that the whole world will be destroyed. And God says, if I do not shorten this time for the elect's sake, no one will be saved. Verse 22, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, the 144,000 and other Jews, other believers, I mean, and other Jewish believers and Gentile believers, the days shall be shortened. Because if God does not shorten it, not even the elect, the believers, could survive. God will protect them and God will keep them. The 144,000 in the wilderness. They are not roaming around to witness. The two witnesses will be doing that. And other believers, where they will pay for it with their lives. And they will go to heaven straight away. They'll be resurrected straight away. The book of Revelation made that plain and clear. The abomination of desolation, it will take place. But watch out for the peace treaty that the Antichrist will make with the people of Israel. So keep on looking at Israel and see how things will progress. Things are already happening. You think the president of America, Donald Trump, is now there by accident? You look at how that election took place. Nobody gave him a chance. He is completely, utterly inexperienced. He's a businessman, never a politician. You think how many hundreds of Americans, hundreds of millions of Americans, they're all controlled by God in their election. God put this man up there for a time such as this. During these next 4 years of his office, he's going to do things that is unimaginable. You look at even when he has not even completed his first year in his four-year term of office, he is already doing so many things differently. He protects Israel. You notice that, right? America pulled herself together with Israel out of UNESCO because of what they did against Israel in promoting, recognizing the Palestinians. These are no accidents. Israel will be the focus, will always be the focus. Someone, the Antichrist, will make a covenant with Israel. And everyone will be very, very happy. And they think that now peace will come. Peace will come. Peace will come. Why would people be longing for peace if peace had continued to prevail? That means there will come a point in time in our world where peace will be taken away from us, so that the world will be longing for peace. And then when peace comes, when the Antichrist makes peace with Israel, peace, peace, peace. What did the Bible tell us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? When you hear peace, peace, peace over the world, the rapture will take place. Suddenly, we are caught up. You think this resurgent or not resurgent, this present state and condition, global terrorism, you think it's also an accident that it occurs during the tail end of the 20th century into the 21st century? How will we lose peace? Is it not through what we are experiencing right now, terrorism? Many people in Europe, they do not have peace even when they walk down the streets. In America, it's the same. Singapore is protected by God, by His grace and His mercy. And our leaders already warning us mentally to be prepared when it happens. They didn't say if, when it happens. What does that mean? Peace will be taken away from. We have not experienced it yet by God's grace. But when it comes, you will be afraid to send your children to shopping centers. You'll be afraid to send them to school. You'll be afraid to send them to places that we now take for granted will never, never hurt us. When peace is taken away, fear takes over. Fear for what? Fear for our safety, fear for our lives. It's already happening. And when it becomes global, what will be the singular most desirable thing that the world will long for? Peace, safety. And the Antichrist will offer. And the best way to offer it, make peace with Israel. How to make peace with Israel? Offer them the rebuilding of the temple. And they will perhaps begin to recognize the Palestinian people as a nation. We give you this temple, you recognize them. Let there be peace. Perhaps that's going to happen. Peace, peace, rapture will take place. The abomination of desolation, it's important because it means the rebuilding of the temple, which means the start of the 7 years of great tribulation. The certainty of that period is what Jesus Christ says here, in the holy place. The timing, the midpoint, the impact, Israel will flee, Israel will run, God will have to intervene, God will protect, Revelation 12. And if God did not shorten this, no one will survive. For the elect's sake, it is limited to 7 years, and only the second half of the 7 years. Now this is what our Heavenly Father says He will do. This is going to happen. Do you believe? Do not long for material things anymore. Because number one, you're going to be raptured. Number two, if you are not a believer and you are not raptured, all your bank accounts will be taken over by the Antichrist. Because without the mark of the beast, your credit card will become useless. All your bank accounts will become useless unless you have the mark of the beast. Because now it is controllable, as you know better than me. They can control every cent that you own as long as you put it in the bank. Or let's say, I don't put it in the bank, I put it at home, hide it under my pillow. Fine. But he also is smarter than you. Without the mark of the beast, no one will buy and sell to you. So even if you have hard cash, you can't go out and buy and sell, because before you buy anything, the man will ask you, show me the mark of the beast. You don't have it, he can't sell to you. If he sells, he will also be killed. And you will be exposed when you don't have the mark of the beast, you go and buy. So even if you have hard cash, it's useless. Now this is our future. Now if you really believe that God is going to do that, and He has the power to do that, and He has, because He has never lied. He destroyed this world by water. And this is how our world will end, by fire. He has the power to do it. If you truly believe that our Heavenly Father is God Almighty and He has the power to do it, change your present life. Any areas of your present life that needs changing, any relationship that needs fixing, parent-child relationship, fix it. Apologize. Say sorry. Make up. Husband and wife, make up. Not been serving in the church, start serving. Not been praying, not been studying God's word, start praying, start serving, start reading, start studying, and start obeying. Not been witnessing for Christ, go out and start witnessing. Take some tracks with you. Because the night can come anytime. And before you and I know it, it's over. And when you look back, let there be as few regrets as possible. Let this life that we live be characterized not with wood, hay, and stubble, but with gold, silver, precious stone, for Jesus' sake. Live for him. Christ has already given us a glimpse of what will happen to this earth with the abomination of desolation. There is no future on this earth except in Christ. If you have not accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, the only way you can escape this is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ right now, who died on the cross for your sin and rose from the dead for your justification. That's why he came, and that's why he revealed this to us, because he wants you to be found in heaven and not in hell. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may thy Holy Spirit bring to remembrance what we have read and studied from thy holy word, that your children will not forget to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. That this world is a world that is reserved for destruction by fire. It is a world of hopelessness. Help us never to put our heart, our desire on anything that is of this world, but that our love for thee will be with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, with all our mind, and to live a life completely devoted to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for he must increase and we decrease. Send us forth, O Lord, to be a holy witness for the Lord Jesus Christ to many of our unsaved loved ones and friends, and use us at home and in our church to be a blessing to family members and loved ones and to God's people, that by our lives they will see Christ in us and be encouraged and be strengthened in the faith and glorify our Father who art in heaven. We pray, Father, for some in our midst who may not have accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. May this revelation of the hopelessness that is of this earth bring conviction and conversion to such a sinner, that this person may realize the depth of his sin and the depth of your love for him in Christ Jesus, and turn to Christ as Lord and as Savior and surrender his life to him unconditionally. For Jesus Christ came to die for him and rose from the dead for his justification, that he may receive forgiveness from thee and experience the joy and the wonder of becoming a child of God. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.